When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Do you love to chat about the Buffalo Bills? Are you tired of the politics flooding your timelines? Come chat with thousands of Bills fans from all over the globe by going to chatwithbf.com. This chat app is like the Bills message boards of old. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram all rolled into one. Nothing but Bills football talk with fellow Buffalo fanatics like yourself. There are monthly giveaways, premium chats, news alerts, live game day chats, and so much more. You are absolutely going to love it. Go to chatwithbf.com and join thousands of fellow Bills fans. Go to chatwithbf.com today.
It is so good to have you guys with me. Welcome into the Overreaction Sports Podcast. And as the intro music you just heard says, it is Joe Miller, and I am officially back in the saddle again. And well, what does that mean? Joe, you haven't really gone away. Well, I haven't gone away, but I did kind of go away. I mean, it's the off season, and as the off season goes, we tend to take a little bit of time for ourselves and take a little time for our well, I shouldn't say everybody. There's a lot of people that don't. There's a lot of guys that just crank out content. I am not one of those guys. I am, for my show, for me, for what I do, for what I'm trying to accomplish, it's just not, I don't want to say possible, it's just not feasible. When you have somewhat of an emotional response, emotional reaction-based show like I do, it's hard to do that in February, like 3 weeks after the Super Bowl, or April, first week of April, in the middle of a pandemic. So what this is meaning for everybody, and I've got some cool information and some cool news for everybody, is we are getting back into rhythm. We are getting back into routine. I am getting back into rhythm. I am getting back into routine. From here on out, you should be getting a podcast from me weekly on Mondays. Returning back to my Monday slot, if you will, from my previous days before I joined the Buffalo Fanatics. But I am back in the saddle. At this point, going forward, you will have me every single Monday morning for your drive to work. You will get an Overreaction Sports Podcast, a Buffalo Bills Overreaction Sports Podcast. But before we get started today, I want to talk about a couple things. The first thing that I want to do, I want to get some quick things out of the way. And it is team related as it pertains to the Buffalo Fanatics. So first things first, we have a store. And actually, while I've got you on the line, I am actually going to go to bffanshop.com myself right now with you listening to me at the moment. If you go to bffanshop.com, there is, as soon as you get there, you can get 10% off if you sign up for text, which is really kind of cool. You can also get 10% off just by picking out some stuff, throw it in your cart, and type in the word overreact. But there is cool stuff. There's the Mr. Process shirt is here with Sean McDermott. There's Buffalo Till I Die, which if you, like me, are a son of Buffalo or a daughter of Buffalo, Let's face it. You can take the kid out of Buffalo, but you can't take the Buffalo out of the kid, right? But there's a lot of cool stuff here. A lot of cool shirts. The Air Allen shirt is here. The 716 shirt is here. There's just a lot of great apparel. There's a lot of great stuff. So that's bffanshop.com. And all you got to do, I don't know why I'm talking so fast. All you have to do is put in the word overreact when you get to your shopping cart, when you go to check out, and you are going to get 10% off of your order, which I think is a pretty sweet deal. Also, as it pertains to Buffalo Fanatics. So the regular season schedule is going to be starting in effect, full effect, this week, which is, if you're listening to this podcast and it's Monday, then you are getting, at this point, the full effect schedule. We are back in the saddle. We are getting primed and ready for the football season, which is, let's just be honest, that's what we're all here for, right? I mean, we're all here for football. I've spent a lot of years of my life wishing the summer away, so don't get me wrong. I'm not at the point where I'm still wishing my summer away, but we are primed and ready. We are back in the saddle again. So this is what the breakdown for the Buffalo Fanatics schedule is going to look like going forward up until the end of the season. So 2021, right? I mean, obviously some things could change, but this is what is right now set in stone. So Monday mornings, you have the Overreaction podcast, which is me. Hello, my name is Joe Miller. I am the host of the Overreaction Sports Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. That handle again is at Joe Miller Wired. If you have not followed me yet, I would please ask that you would do so. And I promise you, if you follow me, I will follow you back if you're a Bills fan. I will actually follow you back if you're a Jets fan. I'll follow you back if you're a Redskins fan or a Colts fan. I pretty much will follow anybody back, as long as it's, you know, you're not retweeting porn for all intents and purposes. I'll follow you. I actually won't unfollow you if we don't share similar political beliefs either. How about that? How about that, Twitter people, those of you that can't take a little bit of somebody else having their own opinion. So if you're not currently following me at Joe Miller Wired, I would ask that you would do so. And I will, as I said, follow you back. I promise. And if I don't, reach out to me and say, hey, bro, you said you'd follow me and you didn't. So Monday. I think it's a Sunday thing, right? Monday is the Overreaction Sports Podcast with your host, me, yours truly, Joe Miller. Tuesdays is the Bills Guys. The Bills Guys are also doing their video podcast on Mondays, and I believe that the audio from that podcast is going to be aired on Tuesdays. Next is Wednesdays. Wednesdays is going to be Code of Conduct with my guy, Jay Spence the King. Thursdays is The Basement and Buff City. Both those pods are on Thursdays. I believe one will air in the morning and the other at 4 o'clock release. Friday, we get the Bills Guys back. So just so you're kind of up to date, the Bills Guys record their video podcast on Monday night and on Thursday night. And then the audio, as I said, plays the next day or the next morning, or should say is released on the platforms, the podcast platforms, the next day. But I'm not sure they thought that through all the way, because they're going to miss a whole bunch of football games. I mean, it'll work out great when you think about the fact that, like, when the Bills are on Monday night and Thursday night football, but there's going to be a whole lot of crossover. Or who knows, maybe they're going to do a lead in to one of those games or all of those games. You know, who knows what they're planning. Next up on the weekend, you have Bills Overdue, and then something that is in the works, something that I'm cooking up. Can you hear me rubbing my hands together? That noise is me rubbing. I've got something up my sleeve. I'm planning something. So I have asked the powers that be at Buffalo Fanatics if they would do me a solid and allow me to find myself a co-host and put together a podcast, a game day podcast that would come to you on Sunday mornings, starting first game of the NFL season, first Sunday of the NFL season. And basically, it would be a preview of the Bills game. So it would be a game day podcast for the Bills. And I have selected, drumroll please, none other than my guy, Jay Spence the King, to do that show with me. I'm really excited about it. We have a concept, and we know the day that it's going to be on, Sundays. So that literally we're going to have 7 days of content for you Buffalo Bills fans, for the Bills Mafia, coming from Buffalo Fanatics when the season starts. But that is going to be a game day podcast. And I'm really excited just about that. I did a preview show. So last year I did a preview show on Fridays as far as a game day preview. And then I did my overreaction pod. So it was, you know, on Mondays. I should say I recorded it Sundays, which I'm going to do again after the game. And I'm going to elicit feedback from you guys, the fans. I want your tweets. And I want to know how you feel about what's going on, you know, with the Buffalo Bills and where you are emotionally. And those aired on Monday. So I'm really excited about this to actually be to have something out there for you guys on Sunday mornings. So you wake up. And you grab your cup of coffee, and what you do is you then, you know, pop on the show, right? And then you kind of listen to Jay Spence and myself do Jay Spence and myself things as it pertains to, you know, talking about podcasts and the Buffalo Bills and all that good stuff and, you know, what we've got on the slate and what we got on the docket. So be on the lookout for that. You do not want to miss it. You want to make sure that you put it in your calendar and be ready. But that is the Buffalo Fanatics lineup. That's what we've got coming at you basically from now through the end of the season, unless something changes. And everything in life, you know, the only constant is change. So be prepared. Something might change, but I can't predict the future. I'm not a prophet. It is what it is. So that is that. So we've got all of our home or our housekeeping behind us as far as just stuff, right? Buffalo Fanatics stuff and just introductions and welcomes into the show. And as always, whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee on your way to work or, well, you're clearly not at the gym, in the basement working out with your ear pods in, as always, again, thank you for listening. I greatly appreciate it. It's an honor and a privilege to have you. I say it every time I have an episode, which will become every week as well. I'm super thankful and grateful to be a part of the Buffalo Fanatics team on the Buffalo Fanatics network. I love the guys. I love everybody involved. We just have a great culture and a great team environment. And I'm just really looking forward to the future with this group. And I think big things are, you know, on the way for us, as we seem to be taking over all the markets, which is really fun, if you ask me. This is kind of cool. So your boy, that's me, your boy got asked to be on his very first podcast as a guest. I was on the Charlie Gross podcast, which is the Downtown Bills podcast. And if you are not familiar with Charlie, Charlie is big into the analytics world. Charlie did have a podcast with Buffalo Fanatics. He recently, and I think he had it with Casey, he recently stepped aside and went in a different direction. He's really trying to chase that analytics vibe that he loves so much. He's got some really cool kind of ideas and some stuff that he's trying to take care of. But he is now hosting a podcast called Downtown Bills. And that will actually hit the Twitterverse, the Podverse, I don't know what you'd call it, the waves, the airwaves. I don't know. People like to say the word drop. I'm not a big fan of the drop word, but it will be available. We'll go with available. It will be available on Thursday. So Charlie had me on. We had a really good time. Charlie's in the middle of doing kind of an all Bills team. Which we've seen some of that done before, but he's kind of just going through and he's had guests on every single week. I know Greg Thompson was, or not Greg Thompson, Bruce Nolan was on, and he's had just a whole bunch of people just kind of join him to kind of go through and break down every position and inside of the Buffalo Bills history, just trying to determine who you would take at each position. We did tight ends. Let me tell you, it was riveting. Not. We had a great conversation. Charlie and I hit it off. We had a lot of fun. It was definitely an honor and a privilege to be invited onto his show. That's the first time that I've been invited. That's not true. I've been invited one other time. That's the first time I've been on somebody else's show. So it was a lot of fun. You're going to want to check it out. There were some cool nuggets there. There were some cool tidbits. We picked three tight ends for basically the all Bills team, if you will. And if you think about it right now, so think, that's not really easy to do. There's not a whole lot of great Bills tight ends, but we hashed it out and we actually got, I think, down to four, and then even went to in what, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years looks like, you know, what that, if that list could potentially change for us as Bills fans. And then we broke down some other stuff and did some other stuff and talked about some other things because we had time on our hands. There was no way talking about the tight ends, the great, quote unquote, great tight ends of Bills history. There was no way we were going to fill 40 or 45 minutes only talking about that. The show literally could have been 5 minutes long. But we did it. We got through it. It was a lot of fun. So be on the lookout for that on Thursday. If you're following me on Twitter, you will see me. I'll put it out there. I'll retweet it. And Charlie, if you are listening, thank you so much, dude, for having me on your show. So I just got done, shifting gears. I just got done watching and listening to the Josh Allen press conference. The video press conference that he had with the Bills, or I should say the Buffalo media. If you haven't watched it, you should. There was a lot of good information there. There was a lot of good stuff, right? I think when we think about the 2020 season, it's based this season. Unravel every so clear your mind for a second. So do me this favor. If you're listening to me and you're paying attention, because I know I pop on podcasts all the time and the radio, and then I'll just go to work and not think. If you can hear me, focus back in to my voice. Clear your mind just for a second. And what I want you to do is, with your mind clear, I want you to think about, I just want you to ask yourself this question. What is the 2020 season about? At the end of 2020, what is it going to be about? The answer is Josh Allen. This season, 2020, is about Josh Allen. And I would go as far as to say that it's almost a 1A, 1B. So Josh Allen is 1A. And 1B is absolutely Brian Daboll. Now, I don't want to get too into the weeds regarding Brian Daboll. I mean, I'll briefly touch it in a second. But for me, 2020 is about Josh Allen. We have a top three defense. It's not in dispute. We're not in a situation where, man, I hope they can return and be as good as last year. They're returning all the coaching staff for the most part. Outside of a couple players that moved on, they have replaced those players. They're returning the core of the defense. We have young and up and coming stars on that defense that have not reached their potential or their ceilings yet. The defense is solid. We know what we have in this defense. Brandon Bean has gone out of his way to provide Josh Allen with every tool that he will need to be successful. So this season, like I said, just stop. And everybody wants to talk about, you know, the complimentary running back. Everybody wants to, you know, the season we always tend to have a tendency to make, because the Bills have sucked for so long. I'm not talking about the last couple of years. We're still living in PTSD over the last 20. We want to get tied up in, no, this season's about the number one draft pick. Guess what, Bills Mafia? This season is not about the number one draft pick. AJ Epenesa is going to ride the pine a lot this year, which is amazing to think about. He's going to rotate in, but he's not going to play 60%. Even if we drafted him and he was Jadeveon Clowney in the flesh, he's still going to rotate on this defense, but he's going to rotate in even less. This season is not about a first-round draft pick. This season is not about the new running back. This season is not about, I mean, it's kind of sort of about Stephon Diggs. I mean, obviously, there's some. Stephon Diggs is a legit talent. He's a talent, but there's a little bit of baggage that comes with him. So, yes, there's a. Is he what we think he is? Is he what we want him to be? You know, it's not exactly every single day that a player transitions from one team to another team and continues his success. It does happen, but it's. I don't want to say it's rare, but it's more often than not, player A plays well. His team lets him walk. He gets ginormous contract, and then he underperforms it. Right? The 2020 season is about Josh Allen. The Buffalo Bills are returning John Brown, Cole Beasley, Dawson Knox, second-year player, and Devin Singletary. Dawson Knox, also second-year player. The Bills have brought in Stephon Diggs, a legit, undisputed number one wide receiver, who's only going to make John Brown and Cole Beasley better. Everybody on this offense should benefit from the presence of Stephon Diggs. Here's the most amazing piece of the picture that I'm trying to paint for you. They're also returning the entire offensive line. I'm not sure I don't know that I remember the last time that happened. So make no mistake, friends, this season is about 1A Josh Allen. So I would encourage all of you to go back and watch that presser, that video press conference with the Buffalo sports media, the Bills sports media, and just listen. Listen to the things that he says. The questions that were asked of him. John Worrow asked him just about his leadership. And we're seeing it on display. We're seeing Josh Allen, you know, over not only last month, but even the month before, getting his guys together during a pandemic, beginning to get comfortable and throw with them. That whole thing that was orchestrated, and he breaks down in specific detail what he and the other quarterbacks went through to make that whole Miami meeting happen, that rendezvous. Which, by the way, almost every single important player for the Buffalo Bills attended. He talks about the fact that as a leader, he had to work out all the schedules. He had to work out rental cars. He had to work out hotel rooms. He had to work out where they were going to be eating dinner. This isn't a young man who's a social butterfly who is like trying to like have parties with his friends and is making sure that the keg shows up and there's enough bourbon for the bourbon and cokes and rum for the rum and cokes. No, this dude is taking control of his future, and his future is now. But when you hear him talk, when you hear him say things, when you hear him just talk about the fact that, you know, he's having conversations with the likes of Peyton Manning and Brett Favre. He's having conversations with Tony Romo at the Super Bowl. And Tony Romo is talking to him about his mechanics. And Josh is taking that information from Tony Romo. First of all, he's working with Jordan Palmer, which you all know. And Jordan is great. It's always weird to me when a player is able to coach better than he can play. And that's what Jordan Palmer is. Jordan Palmer is an amazing coach. Jordan Palmer just wasn't an amazing football player. His brother was. Carson was incredible. I'm a huge Carson Palmer fan. I honestly believe that had he not gotten cheap-shotted in the knee against the Steelers in that AFC championship game, that the Bengals would have won the Super Bowl that year. That hit unraveled his whole career, if you remember. But he's getting coached up by Jordan Palmer, and Jordan has his ear. Josh trusts Jordan. You already know that Josh, just because of their names, you know he's going to trust Peyton Manning. You know he's going to trust Brett Favre, the guy that he gets compared to all the time. And then, oh, you know, I was just down at the Super Bowl and ran into Tony Romo. And Tony Romo, let's be honest for a second, kind of has a crush on Josh Allen, which is kind of fun because Bills fans hate the Cowboys. And here we have, I don't want to say he's the most popular Cowboys quarterback, but he's one of the most popular Cowboys quarterbacks in Dallas's history. And this dude's got a crush on Josh Allen. And somehow their conversation goes from, hey, Josh, what's up? Hey, Tony, what's up? To, hey, Josh, can I talk to you for a minute? I want to talk to you about your mechanics. And it's funny because Tony Romo is a polarizing figure. Like, Tony Romo, people either love him or people hate him. And I guess that's not a surprise because people either love Phil Simms or they hate Phil Simms. People either love Al Michaels or they hate Al Michaels. Like, that just seems to be the way that it goes. People either love whoever the broadcaster is or they hate him. But there's something different about Romo. The amount of times I've watched a game that Romo is color commentating, and the offense breaks the huddle, and then he basically digests and tells you where the play is going before the snap even happens, is amazing. Now, clearly, Tony Romo's a quarterback. However, Phil Simms is a quarterback. There's a lot of quarterbacks. Dan Fouts is a quarterback. There's a lot of quarterbacks that color commentate. Rich Gannon. Who else is out there? There's a ton of them. The old Cardinals quarterback that never amounted to anything. Can't think of his name right now. Doesn't like the Bills. There's a lot of them. Tony's the only one that seems to know exactly what's going to happen when the play, like when the offense breaks the huddle. So anyways, all that doesn't matter. All that to say this. Somehow in this conversation at the Super Bowl, hey Josh, why don't you come here for a minute? Let's talk about your mechanics. I think you would find you would do a lot better if you kept your head still, if you kept your left arm in tighter. And by the way, Tony's a golfer. We know that. He's a good golfer. And Josh likes to play golf. And it's interesting to hear, if you watch that presser with Josh Allen, to hear him talk about, just kind of break down the mechanics of being a quarterback. And he talks about pivoting on his base and making sure his hips get out first. There's some interesting golf things there that I thought was kind of cool. But Josh takes that information. He takes the information from Peyton Manning. He takes the information from Brett Favre. He takes the information from, obviously, Jordan Palmer, who's his coach, his quarterback's, you know, quarterback coach in the offseason. And then he takes the information from Tony Romo to Miami with him. And with, like, any conversation or any situation, if you've ever played golf, there's the hardest thing in the world to do is fix your golf swing. Mechanics is a very strange, your body is just naturally wired to do certain things, and to make it do something different and be natural at it, second nature where you don't think about it, is nearly impossible. But he takes all that information and he applies it in Miami. And the comment that he uses when he's asked by, I believe it was Sal or Brownie, he basically takes that information and uses, or he applies it, and he says that he threw the ball better in Miami than he's ever thrown it in his life. Wait, what? Not much like you, more than likely I've read or heard or watched all of the things about Josh Allen. The thing that made him, most of us, not want him in Buffalo, which was that he was a project, a huge project. Well, I didn't want a huge project in Buffalo, and I know a lot of you didn't either. And the fact that he, you know, played football as, you know, junior varsity, 2 years varsity, went to JUCO, and then played at Wyoming, and like there just wasn't a lot there. Like the word on him coming out was that he was thousands of passes behind guys like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. Thousands of passes behind, and you just can't make that up. I don't mean you can't make that story up. I mean you can't make those reps up. But when you think about what he's doing, and he's taking this information, and I've never seen a guy do what we saw him do last year, which was basically get told or see what was broken, work on it, and basically fix it. That's what Josh Allen did last year, and that's what we're beginning to see again. So there was a lot of cool stuff that came out of this press conference as far as just, and I've got some notes, and that's, you hear me grabbing the paper in my notepad. But John Morrow asked him about just leadership and just the things that he's doing to grow as a leader, to be a leader of men. And Josh Allen is progressing. He is the face of the Buffalo Bills. He is the leader in that locker room. When you think of the Jake Fromm situation, because they asked him about it in that presser, what does the leader of a football team do? The leader of a football team reaches out to you when you make a mistake and says, "Hey, man, you know what? I love you. I got your back. We'll get through this together." 24-year-old kid. He was also asked about Stephon Diggs, and you've heard some of these already that Stephon loves to work. He first started building his relationship with Stephon Diggs playing video games, Call of Duty, which is funny. That's what young kids do nowadays. With them young whippersnappers, that's what you guys do. You play video games. That he's meticulous. Stephon Diggs is meticulous about his route running, asked a ton of questions and has been asking a ton of questions, which is what you want to hear. He was asked about Dable and his relationship with Brian Dable. And I'll get on Brian Dable here in a second. He was asked about, as I talked about a little bit already, his mechanics. He hasn't been with Jordan Palmer in about a month and a half. He'll actually be with him this week, is what he said. The whole Tony Romo thing. Head still. Left arm tight to the body. Rotate on your axis. Keep your body in the line and rotate on your axis. He feels, he was asked how he felt about his mechanics since rookie camp. Josh Allen was the definition of raw. Josh Allen was the guy that walked on the football field and had this cannon for an arm. Crazy athletic skill. But he was just a diamond in the rough. And the comment that he used, or the phrase that he used from rookie minicamp to today, is night and day. His mechanics. And then Sal asked him if he was over, I thought this was funny, if he was over the Texans game, to which he's not. And I know that that's been on Twitter a little bit. I know that a lot of you have heard that. We're not over the Texans game yet either, Josh, just so you know. But even as he thinks about it, and he asks himself, you know, why he did certain things in the moment, and going back and realizing that, you know, if he had, you know, not to force it and not to press it. And one of the things that, you know, came out of the Peyton Manning conversation and the Brett Favre conversation is realizing, and even Tom Brady, watching Tom Brady tape, these guys, these great quarterbacks, you know, they don't press when it gets difficult. They still take what the defense gives them. They don't go out there to try to necessarily win the game in one throw. And he realizes, coming off that Texans game now, that had he not made a couple of those mistakes that he made, that outcome could have changed. That's big. That is a huge revelation to yourself, if that's where you come out on that. I mean, let's face it. A lot of these guys, you know, shake it off, right? I mean, the game's over, and oh well, it's just a game. And they, you know, we've seen them do it. Laugh, you know, the team will get throttled 51-0, and they're in the locker room afterwards, you know, living it up, laughing, joking, having a great time. And then there's always one or two of them that seem to take it kind of hard, but most of them don't. But I think what's cool for me, and this, I talked about this with Charlie Gross. And again, you can hear that on the Buffalo Downtown podcast that comes out on Thursday. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And I don't mean John Brown. Where there's smoke, there's fire. We always hear that. And when we hear where there's smoke, there's fire, we hear it negatively. It's always about negative things. It's always about, you know, if something's bad, if there's smoke, it's probably somewhat true that something's not right there. But sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire can be good too. And if you remember when I started this whole rant today, I was talking about this season, 2020, is about Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen, and this is where the Brian Dable stuff comes in, Josh Allen and Brian Dable are going to be given a top three defense. The defense is going to step out on the field top three in the NFL. They're going to beat people with that defense. On paper, when Josh Allen steps out on that field and Brian Dable game plans, just the guys that they have on the team alone is enough to beat half the opponents on their schedule. Basically just walking in the building. But Joe, game plans and strategy and cheeseburgers on Friday and this, that. And I get it. What I'm talking about is not overthinking situations. Because if you switch out the quarterback on this roster, this team wins 13 football games. And what I mean by that is if you put in a proven quarterback, you put Tom Brady in this Bills football team, probably right now, the 90-year-old statue that he is, Tom Brady probably goes undefeated and wins the Super Bowl with this Bills football team. I'm not wrong. You can hate Tom Brady. I hate Tom Brady, but I'm not wrong. Pick another quarterback. Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a game manager that has great accuracy. Kirk Cousins is winning the Super Bowl with this roster. Pat Mahomes is going undefeated with this roster in the NFL. Josh Allen is going to have to play Josh Allen football. And what Josh Allen football is for us and for him is basically taking that next step. And it's not a little step. I heard Bruce Nolan talk about it. You know, we don't need to see progress from Josh Allen that amounts to 300 more passing yards at the end of the season and two more touchdowns and a couple points in his completion percentage. Yeah, that's progress. But as Bruce Nolan said, you know, it's actually more like plateauing. And here's the other thing, fam. Brian Daboll stands in that same mirror that Josh Allen is standing in right now. Brian Daboll has shown a propensity as the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills to get cute at the wrong times. And I've got hard evidence. The Eagles game, Josh Allen throws it 40 times in a hurricane. The Browns game, the Bills are playing one of the worst rush defenses in the NFL. Josh Allen throws it 40-something times. What is going on? Why are we getting cute? Literally, Brian, you have been given a team. All you have to do is show up and not do stupid things. Game plan around every strength you have and just beat the guy across the line of scrimmage. That's all you've got to do. Can you do that, Brian? Can you build a game plan that just beats the guy across the line of scrimmage? That's the question. So the 2020 season is 1A about Josh Allen, 1B about Brian Daboll. But back to the smoke and fire. Where there's smoke, there's fire. When is the smoke revealing the fire good? I don't want to hear NFL talking heads telling me that Josh Allen is the next great thing. I love Good Morning Football. I don't want to hear Nate Burleson talking about how great Josh Allen is because he doesn't know. I don't want to hear Pete Prisco predict how the great season that Josh Allen's going to have because Pete Prisco doesn't know Josh Allen. I want to hear the murmurs. I want to hear the side comments. I want to hear and see the things on Twitter, the stuff that comes from teammates. I want to see and hear the things that are almost whispers in the NFL world. That's the smoke I want to see. Because when it comes to good things, it's most powerful and the fire is the biggest when it's coming from the people quietly who are the closest to the source. Does that make sense? And that's exactly what we're getting from Josh Allen right now. I hope you're excited because this stands to be one for the record books, in my opinion, as far as memory seasons for Buffalo Bills, for the Buffalo Bills and for Buffalo Bills fans. I hope you're as excited as I am because I'm really excited. Now we're going to transition. And we are going to transition to the Twitter mailbag. I don't really have a Twitter mailbag, but it's sort of like the Twitter mailbag. Last week, I asked you guys to help me out, and you, boy, did you guys come through. I asked for, so the tweet that I sent out last week was working on Go Bills content for this week's Overreaction podcast. Here we are making it. I said, help me out, Bills Mafia. What was your most memorable game, I spelled memorable wrong, from last season and why? I'll be reading your tweets on the show. Let's go. And here we go. I asked for replies. Y'all came through. There's a lot here. So as I step away from the microphone just for a moment to coordinate myself, there's a lot here. And overwhelmingly, it was the same game. Probably for good reason. My boy Spence the King says week one. So at J Spence the King, week one, it was a horrible game, but Josh set the tone with his first comeback game winning drive of the season in week one. That's a good game to benchmark as far as from a memorable game. He did. I would agree with that, Spence, that he, you know, there was a Josh showed what he can do. There was a lot of mistakes made, but he overcame those mistakes, right? Judge Mathis, at Judge Mathis, host of the Bills guys. Dallas, obviously. But Broncos game was low-key fun for me because I was super pessimistic about Allen versus a team with the caliber of players they have on defense. And Fango, Fangio, calling the plays. He made some big-time throws that game. I'll be honest with you. I was nervous going to that game too. That was the benchmark game, right? That was the game where it's like, okay, Josh, you have this easy schedule. And yes, the Broncos aren't a great football team, but they got a great defense. Let's see what happens. And Josh, as Judge said, made some really good throws in that game, and the Bills won. At Jose TICC. It's Jose whosoever. So at Jose TICC, definitely the Thanksgiving game. So this is where you're about to pick up on what everybody says. That was the most excited I've been for a game for as long as I can remember. Jose, I am right there with you. I still remember sitting on my couch in my living room, family around me. It's Thanksgiving, and just excitement and disbelief as the Bills are dismantling the Cowboys. I mean, there was just a want in that game, right? The Bills just want, Josh Allen wanted that football game. The Bills made, so back to his tweet, the Bills made one heck of a statement that night. That was it. Like, the bar was there, and they reached the bar, and they almost reset the bar, which was super cool. At Bills fan diehard. So hard to pick because there's a lot, but if I absolutely had to pick, I'd probably say the Thanksgiving game. Hey. Hard to top being around family, good food. I just said this. Good food. Great minds think alike, Renaissance man. Food and beating Dallas in a primetime game for the entire world to see. Shocked was the world. I've thought about this game. As I saw these reactions and these responses pour in, I almost wonder if the NFL was trying to rope-a-dope the Bills in this game. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, tee up. So, you know, basically tee up a team for the Cowboys to slaughter at home on Thanksgiving to kind of like pave the road for them to get to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And the Bills just went in there and throttled them. Felt so proud being a Bills fan that night. Me too, bro. Me too. At Hammered Bills DM. Ravens game. By far toughest team we've played to that point and proved we belonged. That's a huge point. Like, I was at that game, and the Bills were not out of that game. If you remember, it came down to a last throw that was missed. There was a great defensive play, and that game was and that game was lost. But it was close. We played the Ravens tough. Dave Thorpe, my buddy Sacks of Dave at Sacks of Dave. The Dallas game for me for all the reasons already mentioned. Steelers game was close as we clinched the playoffs in that. Hammered Bills DM has a good shout out for the Ravens game to be a contender too. He's actually got three games for him that are most memorable. Not great podcast content there. Apologies. I was a little late to the party. That's funny. At Pamadonna, Thanksgiving game this year was incredible, but my most memorable game was the 1993 AFC wildcard game. See, this is where Pama, and she responded to me. She reached out. She's like, I didn't follow directions. I'm sorry. But Pam, we're going to take the first line, which is the Thanksgiving Day game. So you did. You followed the directions. You answered the question. Jim at JPQ 1999. Cowboys on Thanksgiving. The biggest regular season game in McBean era. 90% of the media gave Bills little chance due to Cowboys' familiarity with the pressure of that Thanksgiving game. Bills dominated from the start. Very impressive with everyone watching. So true. At Ryan is sweet. Living in Tampa now, I still see Bills fans out and about. but not nearly as often as I did living in New York. That being said, the days after Thanksgiving, almost every time I ventured out wearing a Bills hat, I got a positive comment from someone or complaint from a Cowboys fan. Super good. At Rich Perks 27, the Bengals home opener. I was there. And the Trey interception to end the game happened right in front of me. I was there too, bro. That was a good game. That was a real good game. That was the where Dawson Knox won the crown for the crown from Good Morning Football. Josh Keller, my buddy Josh, at he's got the crazy name, Crazy Keller X Kid. So crazy with a K, K R A Z Y K E L L E R X K I D. Man, he says either Dallas or Pittsburgh. There's nothing like going into Jerry World and embarrassing America's team with all the world to see. And then going to Pittsburgh and winning on prime time, where Pitt has only lost three games in prime time, was remarkable. The renegade moment was priceless. Yes, it was. At a dude in Texas. What's up, a dude in Texas? Welcome to the show. Playoff game. I was there. Little cry face. So there's so he's telling you that his most memorable game last year was the Texans game. And even though it was a loss, it was still the most memorable. I think we turned that around this year, bro. Laura Ormsby at LNO09281978. I'm guessing that's her birthday. So September, baby. We beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh to clinch the playoffs. I live in Steeler country and to have bragging rights for the season and shut up my friends, priceless. Yes, it is. At Buffalo's GOAT, Dallas, Josh not giving up and getting the first down was epic. That kid plays with heart. He is all heart. All heart. At Daryl Gagne, so DarrellGonyea, Miami, and that Hyde return was awesome. That was awesome. I was also at that game. At Edwin Morse 4, the December game at New England, because it was my first time there. Even though the Bills lost, when we took the lead in the third quarter, the whole stadium went silent except for us Bills fans. It was awesome. There was a lot of that this last season. There's a lot of stadiums that were very filled with Bills fans, and when the Bills had the lead or took the lead or won the game, where all you could hear were Bills fans in the stands. It was pretty cool. Just a couple more. At Car James 72, Bills at Houston. Four Super Bowls never got me so upset. We had them, and we let it go. So he's reacting to how he felt with the four Super Bowls that game. That game was so back and forth. I thought that game was over four times. I thought we won that game four different times. Don't get me started. I'll try to get through these. At Eric Bosky. Houston, we won that game, but lost to the refs. The game proved to me without a doubt and the NFL is rigged. We did all the right things this offseason, and our coaches understand we have to blow teams out to take the refs out of the equation. I like your thinking. At Bones 1389, Thanksgiving, because the whole country was watching, and my cousin's wife, she's a Cowboys fan, was sitting next to me. The first drive was rough, but she, STFU, after that. It also got us the Sunday Night Football game because of our ratings, and that got us in the playoffs. Yes, it did. And the last one from it's Sergeant at Arms Eric from Poncho's Army. So S Sergeant, SGTERIC. So Sergeant Eric, PNCHO, Poncho Arm, right? So that's quite a name. Quite a handle. Last one for you. For me, it was the Thanksgiving game. I really feel like that's when Josh proved the to be a balls out gamer. So by and large, overwhelmingly, clearly, the Thanksgiving Day game was the most memorable game last year. And I think I'm there. When you think about just everything that came out of that game, what that game meant, the rating stuff, the fact that we were given little to no chance to win that game, and we basically stunned the Cowboys in their home stadium in primetime, the only game that was on when the majority of the world is watching, the white face masks, everything about that game was just amazing. Clearly, you know, Josh's fumble and then grabbing the ball and forcing himself and willing his way to a first down. Yes, that is probably the most memorable game for me as well. The second one for me is going to be the Texans game. There's just a lot. I had that game recorded, so I've got about 8 Bills games recorded. I still have yet to watch that game back. Well, since it happened, I think I watched it a couple times that week, but I haven't watched it since. So it's, I don't know. I don't know if I've watched it or not. I know I have not. I don't feel like I've watched it. I may have watched it one other time, like the next day. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm confused, but I know that it was definitely the second most memorable game for me. And then third would be the Pittsburgh game. So that's what I've got for you for this episode. I'm closing it out, family. I'm closing it out, folks. Next week, what I want to talk to you about are stats. If you have not been a listener of mine through last season, you have never heard me say this phrase: stats only matter until they don't. Wait, what'd you just say? You heard me. Stats matter until they don't. So many times we're given information and we're given stats to prove things when the stats don't really matter and they don't prove anything at all. And next week, I want to talk a little bit about how stats lie. I want to talk about how stats lie. So that's my little bit of a tease for you. I hope you guys have enjoyed this show, this episode. It's been fun and a little bit lonely to be back by myself. I want to line up a couple more interviews because interviewing people has been somewhat of a neat experience for me. It's been kind of fun. I'm still pretty fresh into this whole podcasting thing and learning the ropes as we go. But it's been a good time. But I do appreciate you guys coming on, or I should say being here, listening to me ramble on about Bills football. Stay safe. I hope you guys are having fun. I hope you guys are enjoying this weather. The weather this week is going to be absolutely gorgeous. This is what Western New York is all about. But I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. Once again, this is the Overreaction Sports Podcast. It is a Buffalo Bills fan reaction podcast. I am your host, Joe Miller. You can find me, as always, on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. And we are on the Buffalo Fanatics platform. And you should follow Buffalo Fanatics if you're not. With that, love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Actually, next week. Go Bills.
If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out thebuffalofanatics.com, where you'll find unique digital content about the Buffalo Bills and articles about anything from schemes, game planning, personnel moves, all the way to comedy and even fan fiction. You can find Buffalo Fanatics content on all major social media platforms. Where else would you rather be? Let's go, Bills.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.